Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Ainge. How have you been?
I've been good. How about you guys?
100%. 100%. Took the bull by the horns this summer. Got things done. Ready to roar.
Good.
Thanks.
That's great. That sounds great.
Thank you. It is. Thank you.
How you feeling? Impressive. You feeling good?
I'm feeling great. I feel great.
You're getting your steps in by chasing your dog Wheezy, who apparently has his own Twitter page now with 1,000 followers.
Yeah, Wheezy's my therapy dog. It's not my dog, actually. It's my son's dog, who was going to college at Babson and living at home. And we love having him and his wife at home. But as much as we love having them at home, Wheezy right now is my favorite.
Big fan of the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Name an animal after a character.
So the name Wheezy comes from, you know, he sort of has, you know, French bulldogs have this breathing problem, and so he wheezes a lot. But also, there's a rapper named Lil Wheezy, and I have my mother-in-law's name is Louise, and we call her Wheezy from the Jeffersons, I guess. But, yeah, there's a lot of connections to why he's Wheezy there.
All right. Well, this has been an interesting offseason. Let's start with the toughest questions first. China and everything that's been going on there. I mean, it's been a mess. And I know we just got to ask you, because you got to get on record. What's your opinion of everything that's been going on between the Rockets GM and now LeBron James?
Daryl Morey used to work for him.
And that's right. And I know that you're close with Daryl Morey. So what is your opinion of what happened over the last couple of weeks?
So first of all, yeah, Daryl is a friend, and he did work here with us. And I'm just amazed, I guess, at how and what's been written and what's been said and all the fuss that's come about from a tweet. And I guess it just tells you the power of what someone says, the wrong thing at the wrong time or whatever. It might be the right thing at the right time. I don't know. I don't really care about any of that, but I'm glad that our league is run by a good guy named Adam Silver. I think he's doing a fantastic job of leading the NBA and the league through this difficult stuff.
So you didn't have a problem with that tweet being sent, unlike LeBron James?
Well, at the time, no. I had no idea that it was going to, you know, turn into something that it has. You know, in our country, we can say whatever we want, and nobody really gets that worked up about it. But I just think that, you know, it's amazing that a general manager of an NBA team can have that kind of an impact on a country's government and so forth. So that's my take on it. I don't really have an opinion on it. I don't really have an opinion on the Chinese government or what they do. But I do appreciate the leadership of Adam Silver.
Has there been any kind of mandate from Adam Silver or any kind of memo that was sent to teams about speaking about this issue?
No.
Okay. So he's basically he has not said anything to you guys. All right. Well, that's
no.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. Well, so a report came out yesterday that Jaylen Brown was offered a contract from you guys, a contract extension. And how much can you tell us about that and how you guys have been trying to work with keeping him on this team?
Yeah, I feel like the negotiations are going well. I think that, you know, whoever put out that report was not accurate. But anyway, that's beside the point. We are working to try to come to some resolve by Monday as our deadline. And the negotiations have gone well.
How is the report not accurate?
It's just not an accurate report. That's all.
Not accurate that you guys have not given him an offer, or that just the figures are wrong?
Oh, no, no. We've given him numerous offers. We've been negotiating for a little while, so that's all.
Do you have a feeling about how he's feeling at this point, one way or another, with the deadline around the corner?
Jaylen doesn't seem to be too stressed about it. He seems to be good and playing well and in good spirits and working hard. It's hard not to think about it at all. I think every player would, but I think that we're in a good place. And we'll see what happens over these next few days.
So Jalen just got an agent, like just now. How strange is it dealing with a player who doesn't have an agent? Is Jalen the one calling you guys up to that point?
Yeah, before Jalen hired an agent, Jalen would talk to me, but he would also get a lot of facts, a lot of information, a lot of counsel and advice, but more than anything, just get educated on what's going on from the players union. And there's a couple people in the players union that are very good. They know exactly what they're doing, and I think Jalen was just trying to educate himself, as he always does, so on the situation, rather than just saying to an agent, just go, you know, do the best you can. I think he wants to be in the know.
All right, so Danny, you drafted four guys, but the guy who wasn't drafted seems to be the guy who's getting the most attention in Taco Fall. Are you amazed at the popularity he has already?
Yeah, I quite honestly didn't anticipate that. Started in the summer league, and he is unique. He's a player that I think has a good upside, and we're excited about helping him reach his goal of, you know, getting to the NBA and being a winning and contributing player. I think that I worry that, you know, expectations are too high too soon for a player like Taco, who has a long way to go. But, you know, the reason Taco wasn't drafted out of college is because he didn't really fit the NBA's game style of up and down and faster and but he made great strides from the time that we saw him in college to the time that we saw him in the summer league. He had lost some weight, and he was moving so much better. And, we're trying to help him move even better and think quicker. And I think that he's a player that is a fun project for everybody because – not because he's 7'7", that's why he has a lot of potential, but he's just such a great human being. I think he's everybody's favorite teammate. He's just such a nice kid, and I'm very excited, and we have great coaching up in Portland, Maine, and I think he's going to get some real opportunities to develop this year.
Growing up around the game and coming up when you came up, how crazy is it that a guy who's 7'6" has to, you know, isn't just plopped right on a roster? I mean, it used to be if you were over 7 feet tall that you were at least on the team.
Yeah, and, you know, Taco could be on a team and play, a very small role right now. But, you know, we're trying to help him become a more meaningful player, a player that is more, that is not just a specialist that can do, play the complete game. And I've been very impressed by his work ethic, his character, his desire. And like I said, you know, he's a great person that everybody, every coach and every player, every staff member that he associates with wants to see him succeed. And, you know, that's a pretty smart kid right there, getting to get to that position where you have that kind of character gives you so much better chance of developing into the player that you want to be.
All right, Danny. So Carson Edwards put on a show the other night, and he had 8 3-pointers in one period, in the third period. On top of that,
a kid after your own heart. Shoots without conscience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and think about that, too. It's like he's a guy that during the tournament last year scored, 40 of the 70-something points
42.
At the
Boilermakers?
Yeah, 42 points. So I'm asking, why did this guy get drafted at number 33, and does it feel like you robbed a bank?
You know, listen, I hate to get so hyped up about kids at, you know, so early in their careers. I'm excited about Carson. We were excited about Carson on draft day. We were excited about him before draft day. We felt like we had a good chance of drafting him all along, and we feel very blessed to have him in our fold. And, you know, he shot the ball not just well. The other night was ridiculous. I mean, that was unbelievable what he did. I mean, think about this. I was a good shooter. I don't think I ever attempted to more than 10 three-pointers in a game, maybe a few times in my whole career. And that's how much the game has changed to a guy that, made 7 in 5 minutes or 8 in 5 minutes. I mean, that's out of control. That was so fun to watch, and you know, but obviously you can't do that every night. But you see, he's been making shots in practice. He's been making shots in all the exhibition games, and you know, he is a fireplug, tough, energizing defender on top of being a terrific shooter.
All right, so when you take a look at this 15th roster spot, because it's still up in the air, and you see a guy like Javonte Green, which, to be quite honest, I had no clue who this guy was before the beginning of the preseason, and he's done almost everything that he can to make this team. Where do you think this is going to go when it comes to that final roster spot?
I don't know. You know, like, there's this is a busy time of the year, and, you know, we're evaluating these guys every day, and we're evaluating the entire league and what's going on around the league, and what players might make other rosters and so forth. But we like Max. We like, you know, his shooting ability, his toughness, his smarts, and we like Javonte and Javonte's energy and, you know, just the athleticism. He gets to so many balls, and he makes a lot happen. He's an energized bunny when he does come into the game. And you know, we're excited about both of those guys' careers, and right now that's what it's going to come down to, a decision between those two. But you know, who knows between now and the deadline what sort of deals can be made, and you know, those are things that we still don't know, and those are conversations that go on every day. So I'm excited about both of them and both of their futures.
All right, there's a lot of talk, Danny, about the likability of this year's team. How does it feel going into this season as opposed to last season, as far as expectations are concerned, the chemistry? How is this one different than last year?
Well, you know, going into last year, just like every year, there's a lot of optimism and a lot of enthusiasm. When we were talking early last year, you know, we were really excited. There's a lot of things, a lot of question marks that needed to be answered. And we didn't play well early, obviously. We were 10-10 coming out of the gate. But then the next 25 games, we were the number one team in the NBA. Now think about that. That's that 25-game stretch. And, you know, who knows? It could be scheduling was a little bit easier at that time or whatever, but our team was playing the best of any team in the NBA at that point. And so there was still a lot of optimism after a 10-10 start that wasn't as good as we hoped. And that was just how the league went. And then we win 5 playoff games to end the season. And, you know, then we just played terribly in the last 4 playoff games. So that was how the season went last year, and I think that our guys learned a lot from that. And but, you know, there was always hope going through the season last year, because we kept showing signs, okay, this is what we could be. Okay, this is, now we're starting to get it together. And, you know, hopefully this team is a little bit more together and is able to fight through some of the rough times, and understanding that you need everybody on the team to perform at their best. That we, you know, the defense is a high priority, and that everybody has to play hard each and every night. And I think that all of our players were guilty of some of the selfishness and some of the not playing as hard as they need to play to win. I think every guy on our team was guilty of that last year.
With Kyrie Irving no longer here, I would imagine a little bit more is expected from a lot of the players that are still here, and who's going to score and who's going to take a leadership role. With that in mind, and keeping in mind his contract is up, not this year, but coming up shortly, is this a make-or-break year for Jason Tatum?
a make or break year. I mean, the kid's 21 years old. I don't understand how it could be a make or break year, but
that's what Fred says.
He's no good.
We're continuing to evaluate Jason just like we evaluate everybody. But I like where Jason is right now. I like where his development has gone. There's been so much talk about his, you know, step backwards last year. Maybe he didn't have a step forward like a lot of people expected, but I mean, I see a lot of great things. Statistically, he was better last year than he was the year before in almost every category. So I'm a big fan of Jason's. He has a good feel for the game. He wants to be a great player. He works at it. I'm excited for this year for Jason.
All right. Oh, you know, I forgot to ask you, there was a report that came out that there was a potential situation, a scenario that there was a deal that you could have kept Kemba and Al Horford. Was there anything like that in the works while you were working on those deals?
There was some discussion, but it never really was close to happening. It was possible, but there was a way to do sign and trades and to try to make it happen, but it was never really that close to happening.
So the timing all lined up where if other teams were in on it, that this possibly could have happened, because I remember, you know, from the outside looking in, it seemed like the timeline was off. But what you're saying is that if other teams were to agree with it, that could have happened.
It could have. I mean, it financially it could have, but there was a lot of moving parts, and we never really came close because, you know, we couldn't get all the moving parts to agree on any deal.
What do you think of Jaylen Brown's new haircut?
I mean, Jaylen's a handsome kid. I sort of like the
I'll say.
And we need him to be 2 inches taller, so that would be great if he tried to grow the hair back. But no, he looks good. He looks good, and he's playing really well. That's most important.
All right. Well, Danny, fish don't fry in the kitchen, beans don't burn on the grill.
That is a Wheezy reference.
Give our best to Wheezy. As the dog continues to.
Did you start the Twitter page? Tell me that wasn't you who started your dog's Twitter page.
No. It was Crew. It was Crew started Wheezy's Twitter page. Crew does all of Wheezy's Twittering, and I was just sending tweets out to like give him a jump start.
All right. Well, that's.
And I was bored watching a football game, and Crew put an end to my Twitter tweeting about Wheezy. Said, "Okay, Dad, that's enough."
You've gone too far. You started to sell out the integrity of the page.
Exactly.
Yes, you got to keep those things legit. Danny Ainge, thank you for our lengthy conversation to start off the year. And here's to a great week, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
All right, guys. Look forward to it.
All right, see you, man.
All right, appreciate it. There you go, Danny Ainge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.